We encourage you to open the scripture in Revelation chapter 17. And on chapter 16, as you recall, and the Lord has sent the seven descriptions of in a general picture what is going to happen in the tribulation. The question always is the tribulation, and this is the fathom of theology, is the tribulation after the church's rapture or during the time of the church or in the middle or whatever. And it's my understanding by the scripture that the church is here, because Jesus said at the very beginning, who are these, said John, and the angel said to John, these are those who were slain during the tribulation period. And so that scripture implied to me that we're going to be there in that fashion. Now, I thought in teaching you Revelation 17 and the whole picture, but there's too much, so I want you to understand it slowly. I need to understand it slowly, all right? Now, first, and I give you an outline, and those who are listening, you can request an outline, and I'm going to send it to my brother Greg so that he can put this outline officially in our page there in the church webpage. Revelation 17, number one is the background. An angel approaches John. Look in verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talk with me, saying unto me, come hither. Now, the angel don't say, well, if you like, John, come here and let's talk this over. That's what I say. It's a command, all right? One of the angels, one of those seven angels who brought the judgments of God to the people of the world, the Antichrist, then it came to him and said, you come here. See, there was not a soft invitation. There was a command of the angel. And this is the way God's going to deal on the time of the tribulation, I think, the style. When Jesus was on earth, those who come to me, I will bring to the Father, and he was love and tenderness and sweetness and all of these. But during the time of the tribulation, God's going to act in a way of command. And he's going to say, this is going to happen, this is going to be. Also, in verse 1, I see that the promise, this angel's promise to John to show the judgment of God to the religious Antichrist movement. Look at in verse 1, said, and there came one of the seven angels, which has seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, come closer to me. I will show unto thee the judgments of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. And so here is waters in the Bible, as you remember in the book of Revelation, means nations. And so I want to show you these whore. And whore is somebody who is a picture of a woman, so a picture of a church, not the true church, but the unbelieving church. How the unbelieving church is now, the Antichrist church, moving into the entire continent of the universe, and I want to show you what that church is doing. Now, in verse 1 also, the church gets a label from God. Religious Antichrist movement, some people call the false church, I like to call it religious Antichrist movement, got a real label from God. Look at this. Gets a label, the whore, of the great whore. In other words, that's it. In the Bible, when that word is used in the Old Testament, it's very bad. Really somebody who had absolutely no hope of salvation. And the Antichrist church have no hope of salvation. You can name many of them. In Los Angeles, there is a church of Satan. In Los Angeles, there is a church who is with the homosexuals. There's all kinds of churches. I'm not talking about denominations. I'm talking about churches who are way off over there. And you know, this is in San Francisco, there's just beside the seminary, one church, the Church of the People. If you go over there, you're crazy. They do sex into the church and all kinds of things. And so this is not new. And this is coming in and coming in and coming in more and more. So God gave the label, the whore. And get an evaluation of it is control. Again, if you see here, he said, of the great whore, they sit upon the waters. And if you go with me to verse 15, the verse 15 explained that word waters. And he said to me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitude and nations and tongues. So that's why I said to you that the word water means nations and peoples and all of these, because the Bible says so right there into the point. And then there is related prophecies to this. This is not new. This is not something that the theologians can say, oh, this is a new aspect of life. If you put one hand on Revelation and you go with me to the book of 1 Timothy, here... you will find in chapter 4 in verse 1 what the prophecy of the teaching of the Apostle Paul to his disciple Timothy is. Now the Spirit is speaking expressly that in the later times, that means that in these is the later times, the tribulation, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So not talking about denomination, Presbyterian, Pentecostals, and these. No, these are not doctrines of devils. They all proclaim Christ. But we're talking about people who really off. We have no idea. We have a sound of what's happening. If you go with me, you're in 1 Timothy, go with me to 2 Timothy, and go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and in verse 5, the Bible describes these peoples from you. The Bible says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Amazing. And then, if you go to one book before the book of Revelation, is the book of Jude. And if you go to verse 7, the Bible relate these last times and this Antichrist church to a city. Look at this. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. In other words, what is the symptom that these... Antichrist church is going to proclaim in this moment, it is the symptom of the deviation of what God has ordained, the marriage. Sodom was characterized in the book of Genesis in chapter 17 and 18 as a city that lost their relationship of intimate behavior. In other words, the Bible describes in Genesis 2:24, let the man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, unite to his wife, an intimate relationship on their bodies. And the characteristics of the Antichrist church is that will destroy that. Why? Because that destroyed the heart of humanity. Is that right? If you take away the marriage relationship, you take away the conception of the whole earth. And that's exactly, in this point too, that I'm making, Jude chapter 1, verse 7 said that at the moment of the tribulation, the gospel of the church will be love, tolerating all kinds of misbehaviors and intimate relationship, and include there will be animals and so on, and it's going to be a mess. And we have just a smelling, in America, this kind of flavor, all right? We don't have anything yet, but we are smelling the favor. Wait until the Supreme Court changes one more judge, and then I say we are in real jeopardy, okay? And we are smelling this favor. The Antichrist church is a church of passion. Let the passion of man and destroy what God has created. The first thing God has created is what? Marriage. It's the first thing. And the Antichrist church that the Bible described here in verse 17 is not the Pentecostals, is not the Presbyterians. These people are still with Christ. They have different doctrines and different understanding of the doctrines of God, but it's still Christ. This church will deny the very essence or the foundation of the universe, which is marriage. So the angel is showing all of this to John. Religious Antichrist movement, the false church, is really trying to destroy the very foundation of what God has created. Now, I relate to this, and we served the Lord in 1981 and 1982 in Nicaragua, 1980 and 1981, under the revolution of President Ortega. And I went for Family Radio to encourage the churches of Nicaragua and to make strong the churches of Nicaragua. And so we went every place in Nicaragua. And I want to tell you, I had the privilege to be hosted, not in a hotel, but in the president of the National Bank in Nicaragua. He has a big rancho, and we can go, you know, in the morning. Raquel was so pleased, 110 degrees, and you cannot wear a suit on it. And I was, I cannot walk on it. But you go with your machete, and you get to a cactus, and you cut the cactus, cut it on the top, and the cactus has a tremendous juice, maybe 50 degrees. Oh, so I was doing that, and President Ortega, who later on became President Ortega, at that time was commander, he was the neighbor, and he came in. The neighbors did not have any divisions on fences and so on, and he said, what do you think you are doing? I said, I'm drinking this beautiful Nicaraguan, two things they have. They can compete in the whole world. That's, what is it? The coffee is another thing. That's very good. But the fruit, the pineapples. I mean, Hawaii is nothing to that. Fresh and beautiful. And they have the cactus, which the juice is released to you. Of course, when it's 90 degrees, they are cold. Like Raquel said, they are cold, 90 degrees. So they bring you eggs. And they said, no, I want just fresh fruit. And he told me this. He said, Pastor Otero, I want you to read the Bible in every school. Because in 25 years, these little children will change their mind concerning what is the true church. Because he was complaining that the Roman Catholic Church, who controlled the country, abused the people. And he had read some of the sound that I gave him. And he said, this is good. I want all the children to read that. And 20,000 Bibles were placed in Nicaragua at that time. And I tell you, this is what the Antichrist knows. And so he knows that if we change the formation of society, if we change, as we read here in Revelation 17:1, they said, I will show you unto thee the judgment of the great whore that seated upon many waters. Explain in verse 15, the false church is going to sit in the entire world, not the Presbyterian again, not the Pentecostals. This is a church that has changed the main subject of life. No longer you need a man and a woman to procreate. Now we're going to have all kinds of mess. Wow. So we are not yet in the tribulation, are we? We are smelling the tribulation in America, but we are not yet. All right? Point number three, religious antichrist will be supported by the nations of the world. Now, you know who supported this church? You. You. You are the one. It's a miracle that this church is alive because you supported the church. Every day with my wife at breakfast, we thank the Lord for your provision. I, in awe and admiration to you for giving the offering to this church to support the church. And I'm grateful to God for this. But look at here, verse 2. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, that means intimate relationship, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Two things I want to point out. The point is this. In the end time, will be a wall, why religion is state religion, that will, the pastor don't have to worry. He will have his Maserati from the president of the nation. All right? You know, the counsel of God is very open here in 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. I don't know if you ever read completely in 2 Corinthians, but 2 Corinthians is a real wonderful book that counseled many things for these times. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, from verse 14 on, I put in my paper verse 17, but I want to show you from verse 14 what the counsel of God really is. He said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And this church is unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? Verse 15. And what conquer have Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believe with an infidel? And what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Verse 17, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. Yes, the Lord said, come out of the church, but not out of the Presbyterian church, or out of the Baptist church or the other. Come out of the Antichrist church. Come out of the church, if you're a believer, come out of the church that doesn't believe in the foundation of the scripture. That is the counsel of God. Also, there is an advantage. Many states support already state religion power. Italy is one of them. Spain is another. Mexico was too close about 10 years ago. No more. 20 years ago, they canceled the support of the church. Argentina is still in council of the church. Colombia, Bolivia, all the South American states. England support the church. The Anglican church is supported by the Queen is the Pope of the church. So the British have that. And so the Germans support the Lutheran church, and they divided and created the Free Evangelical Church. Holland support the church. The Queen of Holland is the Pope of the church, in that particular, the Reformed Church, and they split it, and the Reformed Church is split, and the Christian Reformed Church, who is not supported by the church, and so on. So the stage is already there. But this will be universal. There will be everywhere. There will be a very easy way to have a church. You don't have to put offering from your taxes. The state will support the church system. And they're going to use the Hebrew system in the Bible. And government is not in existence. The government should be the church in the Bible, the ideal government. Remember, the first government was God. And then the people do not want God. They want a king, and God gave Saul, and so on. But God is still, remember the Sanhedrin of the Hebrew people, where all the Pharisees, the theologians, they were the government of the country. That's God's way. And so they, using the excuse of the Old Testament, they're going to state that kind of environment into the whole entire world. It's amazing that the angel is showing these things. So we are not there yet. When you hear some people say, we are in the tribulation period, in the great tribulation period, they have no idea what they're talking about. We are maybe smelling the great tribulation, but not there yet, all right? All right, number 4, verse 3, religious antichrist will receive power from Satan himself, all right? The scarlet collar, this is the Antichrist. Look at verse 3. So he carried me away, verse 3, in the spirit of the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast. Christ never was sitting upon the beast that they're talking about. The King James used the word beast for a call, but that was not the intention here. So the scarlet color beast is the Antichrist, and also the beast that is identified with full power is Satan himself. We have to go to chapter 13 and verse 1 and verse 2, where that is explained. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And so, therefore, religious antichrist will receive a power directly from Satan. And I have a thought about this. Be aware of what is going on in your own heart. All right? Let me explain with the scripture what I mean. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. If you go to Colossians chapter 3, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter, I said 3 and verse 2. Look at what the scripture says. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. That will help you not to worship a beast. See? Set your affections on things above, not here. Go to Titus with me. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And look at James chapter 4 and verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And so I think the verse 3 in Revelation 17 is teaching us this, that so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet collar beast, full of the of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And that's Satan himself. And so we have to be careful who we worship and what we do personally, individually. Religion is a very tricky word. We are a religious institution, that is Baptist Church. But religion is a very, very tricky word. You hear this morning when Jesus trying to explain that this religious man was not really a man of God. And I got emails for you, 23 of them, and one from a city very close to us, saying the man, I thought it was a religious man, and I did was a religious man, but not a Christian. Thank you. He said, now this morning, I have really understood what Christ is and how to get into the kingdom of God. Not by religious effort, he said, but by faith in Christ. Boy, I thank God for the understanding better than my preaching. You know, it's just absolutely good. Now, this will disappear. And there will be no, this church is the Antichrist church. Of course, it's not going to mention Christ. Satan never mentioned Christ. He knows about Christ, but he never mentioned Christ. And so it's going to be fatal to go into this. Now, verse 4, religious antichrist will have the appearance of a great success. Look at verse 4. There's an outward appearance, extremely wealthy. And the woman was arranged, a woman which is a picture of this antichrist false church, was arranged in purple and scarlet colors. And decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. And this is extremely wealthy. Extremely wealthy. All right? There is a clarification about this that I want to make in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 18, of the Gospel of Luke that we've been this morning, chapter 18 of the Gospel of Luke, and verse 29 and verse 30. Here's what the Gospel said. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. Now, I put in the paper the word clarification. Now, there are Christians who are tremendously rich, and that's nothing to do with this. You can be comfortably rich. You can be having money because, see, God, if you leave every sin of this world for Christ, Christ is going to support you here and there. Always said, and I say it many times to Danny, the ministry that God's empower, God's support. I saw it by Nehemiah. When Nehemiah never make a move until God made the move. And God made a move in an unexpected way. Remember Nehemiah? He was sad that his town was broken. And the king said, ho, 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 ho. Nehemiah, come here. What's wrong? What's the in the wine? He says, not the wine, my honor. It is my town. And what God said, well, Nehemiah, tell me what you want. Remember? And he told, he was a Jew, so hey, I had my list. He forgot one thing. He forgot something that tells me he was born there in Assyria. He had to cross Syria. Syria was very rebellious to Israel. And so he said, give me all of this. And the king said, not only this, he gave the elite soldiers of the Assyrian Empire to go with him so that he can go across. That was an open door for Nehemiah. Now, that had nothing to do with these here. These the church, see, when the church bases all its effort in an outward building, I question if they understand what really the ministry really is. There's nothing wrong to have a good, comfortable building. There's nothing wrong to have facilities to do the ministry. But when you overgo in this and you put too much on it, and you, the windows have to have pictures and these and the others, and then when you go and do that and don't put the money in the Bibles and missionaries and then the gospel, I question. But this is worse. In verse 4, that church will have all kinds of money. Have you been in the Vatican? I'm not picking on the Vatican, but have you been in the Vatican? I mean, they're really rich. Have you been in churches in Mexico? I mean, the people are really poor, but the altar is in gold. We took a train up the hills in Colombia, and in the most poor neighborhood that you can find. And then we had to take a string-hanging little thing that hangs in a wire and it goes up the hill. I ride to the church, and it was full of gold. I mean, solid gold. Everything was super. I mean, millions of dollars. And the priest explained to me that this was his life before. He was converted through my radio ministry in Spanish. He invited me. He was the chaplain of President Bentancur. And I was a pleasure to see the president, and his wife was American. In Colombia. And I tell you, the riches of that church was so, and the people went over there and brought whatever they have to make that church more rich, because that's what it has to do. Well, have nothing to do with this. This is the church, the glamour of the Antichrist church will make the attraction of people. Why? Because people, they look on it. It's all. What is in this tiny little Spanish building here? They tell me that. Other pastors tell me this. Pastor Otero, you preach so good. If you can have a better building, people will come in. No, I don't want people to come for the building. I want people to come for the need of their heart. The building, they had the wrong attitude, all right? Even churches change offices. Because people come to the office, you come to my office, it's a trailer, because my trailer has acacia wood. That's $3,000 paneling in my office. cost the church $3,000, because I don't want to sit in an office. I want to sit in an office like Israel with acacia wood, and the church did it for me. I remember the man, we used to have a carpenter from South, forgot his name. Steve, and he did it. Acacia wood, I mean, exactly from Israel, my office. So don't try to take the panels away. It's just beautiful. But, you know, they say, oh, we come to a trailer. Now, I'll tell you, in wintertime, I never call. And in summertime, I never call. See? In wintertime, I don't turn the heater because I like winter. But in summertime, I turn the air conditioning. All right? It's just okay. What's the problem? Oh, but that don't look good. Well, it looks good to me. I have all the books, all the internet connections, everything I needed. But this church is outward, the outward appearance will be attraction. Now, what about inwardly? Look at what the Bible said. Verse 4. And the women was arranged in purple and a scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stone and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of the glory of God. No, abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Inwardly was totally corrupt. That's the Antichrist church. Let me go to Titus chapter 1 and verse 16 again. Titus chapter 1 and verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. That's the forecast of the Antichrist church that God puts over there. Now, there is an advice in the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy, if you can go over there here in Numbers, in chapter 11 and verse 16. Take heed to yourselves, Deuteronomy 11:16. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Be not deceived. Be not following a building. Be not following this and following the other. Be very careful. Because the Antichrist church is, that's where they're going to attract people, okay? We all like brand new cars and beautiful houses and beautiful things. Come on, we all like that. And that's the first attraction. When a girl come in and a girl is well-dressed, I watch it at the old guys at the McDonald's. It's so nice when my wife was sitting there and it comes a girl with high heels, and very young, all these old guys that hardly can move, they go, ooh. I laugh so hard. You know, I said, come on, guys, you all cannot move your arms. What are you going to do with a girl like that? You know, we all laugh together. But that's what it is. The attraction is there, all right? If it come an old lady, nobody pay attention. But come these ladies, just amazing, amazing. And sometimes came one lady who was doing her hair, and very pretty, blonde, long hair. It's not her own hair. I know that because I went to pick up Raquel, and Raquel explained to me. But she comes in, and I was sitting in O'Henry. And she came in, and she looks, hi, Gabriel, how are you? She came and hung on me and kissed me and so on. Oh, those old guys, they almost flip over, you know? It's just amazing. And I said, she's like my daughter. I said, what are you talking about? Is this my wife here? What for my wife? I can't believe it. But that's our heart, the appearance outside. All right? Verse 5, religious antichrist. We have a striking name, all right? Her name reveals her position. Look at here. And upon her forehead was a name written, mystery. Babylon, the great, the mother of the harlot. So her name revealed her position. She will be the source. The mother is the source of life. Motherhood is the word mother means source of life. And so here it is, the name revealed what that church is. He's going to create more and more and more, all right? Her name revealed her projection. Look at this, mystery of Babylon, the great mother of the harlots, an abomination of the earth. That's what they're going to do. You know, some people say, well, we need to have understanding about homosexuals. You know what the Bible says about homosexuals? They are an abomination to God. And that's what these verse said, an abomination of the earth. In other words, they're going to project that kind of behavior. So today in America, we have it in the courts, we have it in the Congress, we have it in the Senate, we have it everywhere. And it's, well, they have the right to do so. That's an abomination to the land, said the scripture. Maybe 5 years from now, if I'm still alive and I preach, I'd be in jail for saying that. But that's what it is. All right? But the only way to achieve utopia, or heaven, is through Christ. In other words, the only way, they said, we're going to provide for you what Christ has promised, a utopia. They don't know that that's in heaven. Let me show you something. Here is the utopia. Matthew chapter 6. You know it by heart. Verse 33. Look at what the scripture says. Matthew 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things of this world, all the things shall be added unto you. Believe me, if you're a believer and you're a millionaire, you deserve it. God is going to give it to you. If you're not a millionaire, but you are comfortable living, God has given you that. Remember that. It's not that you made it. My assistant pastor and associate pastor with $250,000 a month, God gave him that. Now I'm going to make a correction. I'm always joking. I'm on the air, so I'm always joking. But I tell the other pastor, say, you pay your pastor? Oh, yeah. So I tell you the salaries of my church, my associate pastor is $250,000 a month. They go, shocking. See, everybody is seeking for a utopia. No, God's give you money to live comfortably, to live wisely, and to spend your money properly, and then you get there. And you don't have to get second thing. You get the first quality. Christians need to be first class. God give you. You'll get there. You get there slowly. All right? This is what it is. Look at in Romans 10:13. This is utopia. Romans 10 and verse 13. Look at what the Bible says. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No limitations. You don't have to depend on a church. You depend on Christ. That's what it is. Look at what we Christians have. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your cares upon him. Why? For he care for you. You have no work? Just tell Jesus. You lost in an investment? Just tell Jesus. Your husband left? Just tell Jesus. Don't panic. He cares for you. And he moves on. All right? So that's the utopia that we Christians have. Not the state religion. Not the state supporting me. God doing everything for me. That is the key. Now, we go to Revelation 17 and on verse 5. See, I cannot go on because we'll take 3 hours to go through the chapter. Verse 6. And religious antichrist will be the leader in launching the Holocaust. Millions will be persecuted. And I saw the women drunken with the blood of the saints. Millions are going to be persecuted. Millions will be killed. With the blood of the saint and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Millions are going to be killed. But no new information for us believers. This is no new. If we go to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 17 and 18, we got the information. Matthew 10, verse 17 and verse 18. But beware, said Jesus, of men, for they will deliver you up to the council. And they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Who was the first in the Bible to suffer this? The apostles. Stephen and one of the apostles, Paul. He was brought to Rome, and Rome judged Paul. And so they're going to do it all over. Look at Matthew 24. You are there. Let me show you Matthew 24 in verse 9 to 10. Matthew 24, verse 9 to 10. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations, and my name's sake. Matthew 24 is on the great tribulation. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And see, this is during the great tribulation period. How do I know the great tribulation, the church is there? Verse 14, right here, explain it. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Doesn't say then the tribulation will come. The Bible says, and then the end will come. So the Bible is very clear and it's very simple and doesn't make a big deal about it. Now, what is the advice from God about this? I look into that and I say, wow, I don't want to be in the great tribulation. But suppose you are in the great tribulation. What is the advice from God? Go back to Revelation chapter 2. Remember where God talks about the church. Chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Look at what God said to us. Revelation 2, 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, and ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee, what? The crown of life. What is the crown of life? There's no, you know, we saw crowns in London. I want to see the King James Bible original, and they issue me inside a special museum. Boy, they check you all over, raiders and so on. And I saw that Bible, so on. They said, well, now you are here, said the guard. There were three guards that had no pictures, no phone, nothing. I said, we take you to see something. They thought the Bible was nothing. I want to see that handwritten Bible, handwritten King James Bible, right there. And he said, we want to show you something special. For me, that Bible was special. They don't allow even me to touch it. Of course, 400 years old, the paper is all scratched. They move, they have a bin of air, and they move the Bible like this, and I can see. And then we move to another room, and here are the crowns. They explained to us the Hitler idea was to come in and not to bomb. The reason why Hitler did not bomb the bridge in the castle was because he wanted to get the crowns. I mean, those crowns, they were something. Pearls and diamonds and things like that. I mean, they were spectacular. But look at what the Bible says here in Revelation 2:10. Fear not the things which thou shalt suffer. No, they could suffer, shall suffer. See, I will give thee the crown of life. That is much better than all the seven crowns of the British Empire. Much better. Where's the crowns of life? Life in heaven. That's the crowns of life. Life in heaven. Nobody can have it. Nobody can buy it. Was given to us by Christ Jesus. So you can see, I taught you part of the great tribulation. We are not scared. We are not depressed. Because we have the power of Christ upon our life. What a beauty is the Bible. I want to confess to you, I thought I can teach it like that. But this took me 15 hours to look on. So I only can get 6 verses. And that's why I had to delay all the material to Bernie until almost Friday morning. Because I really was involved in doing this study so deeply. What a peace of mind came to me. I don't have to be afraid of anybody. I don't have to be ambitious of anything. Jesus said that he promised a roof and food, and I have it, and you have it, and we have it better than anybody else in the world, by the mercy of God in America so far. But how blessed we are. Come on, don't be depressed. Don't be upset. Young people, don't shoot to have this and the other. Just go slowly, like your parents did. Slowly, one step at a time. Honestly, I got 2 people who work, and I told one of them, I said, you know, just go slowly. He wanted to be a boss already. I said, just be slowly. Be thankful that they will give you a full-time job in 3 months. And when you get it, be faithful to what they said and let them move, which is God telling them to move. I never asked for a raise. I never asked for anything. I just let God move. And it's just fantastic. And you leave with whatever you have and you're happy. See? I tell you, people are nasty to you. Yes, they are. This man is a descendant. He's American, descendant of a Spanish. Oh, people are nasty to you. They're nasty to me. Oh, you have this old car, they tell me. But this old car that I have, very soon it's going to be an antique. And it's going to be $40,000, $50,000 value. But I will not sell it because my legs feed. All right? I can stretch my legs in my car. If I'm tired, I move the seat, I push, and the air comes, hot air, cold air, and I sleep like a queen in those old seats who I treasure so much that I care for that leather from Italy. You know, remember, American built the best cars in the 60s and then rebuilt the best cars in the 90s, and I got it by a miracle of God. Adam bought the car, Raquel did it for me in Oregon because we have an accident in the insurance company. I said, there was all their fault. I stopped with my Lincoln, and the car in the back hit me. The other hit me. They were all illegals. And, you know, the insurance said, well, I think you are guilty. I said, well, don't talk to me when you take drugs. Just talk to me when you are calm before I call the state of Oregon into problem. Boy, the paratroopers in Oregon went to the insurance company for me, and they said, you go and select the car. So I told Raquel, go and select the car. And we got the car. It was a one-year-old car, but was the best car the dealer can offer. Danny was racing cars at that time, and was racing car for the Ford company in Oregon. And they just said, we give you, Daddy, the best car we have. And indeed has been a good car, 216,000 miles, impeccable driving. And but I'm happy. Oh, I talk to you about cars, I talk to you about other things, but I'm very happy. I feel like a $1 million man. See, don't go by the appearance, go by the heart. In the tribulation period, all this is going to show to you. Oh, look this, look this, look this, look this. Come on, all right? I'm not cheap. I wear a pair of shoes, running shoes that cost more than $200 because I protect my feet on it. And out of your salary, I divide my money in a way that can be, I can have the money in 2 years, I can have the money for the new shoes. Because when you play soccer, your shoes is your key. They were handmade every week for the players. My mother worked on that. That's how I know. So I tell you, Christians, come on, let's lift up our eyes and let's be aware of what's going on. And when you hear the news, oh, the homosexual did this and the other, you know, the Lord is coming. That's what I tell people. The Lord is coming. It's one day closer, and he's around here. May God bless us. Father, thank you. Thank you that the information you gave us is to make us aware of what is ahead of us. But thank you that we will be protected. If our life is taken, we will be with you. Lord, I pray for our children and our grandchildren. What life are they going to see? Lord, bless them and protect them. In Jesus' name, amen.